This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Please turn to Peter's epistles, if you will. We have a couple of verses there for introduction. 1 Peter 2:1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now please to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And now to chapter 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All through these passages, we've seen either in our Sunday morning series or our Sunday night series or both. Sunday morning, for our annual theme, we've been talking about growth, growing. And Sunday evenings for some time, we've been talking about sanctification, and they're really very synonymous. It's interesting, though, to realize that this subject of growth and sanctification comes up three times in Peter's epistles. That's three times in eight chapters. Interesting that that theme would be so prominent in these brief little letters. And so as we were discussing it at a home, the idea came up, well, what if we considered Peter as a case study for growth and sanctification? And very presently, it became apparent that that was a really good idea. Because when we see Peter at the first, he is definitely a diamond in the rough. True? And yet, what a wonderful, wonderful trophy of grace he became. So this is just kind of a flyover survey of Peter's life as recorded in Scripture. We're definitely leaving some important things out, but like I said, there's only so much we can do with 15 points in one message. Should we get the handouts out? Yes, no? Okay, hand them out. Let's go. Great, thank you so much. So we have a handout for you to help it make it easier for you to take notes, because there's 15 points. And references. But there are blanks to fill in. So I hope you brought your writing utensil. Or you can prick something and just kind of... No, don't do that. We'll look predominantly from the Gospel of Matthew and the history of Acts. We'll grab a couple from John's Gospel because he always had an interesting perspective. We're leaving some from Matthew out. We're not really spending much time in Mark and Luke. But I want us to just quickly, this will be more of a lesson or even devotional, where we'll see what happened in Peter's life and kind of call from that a principle of growth that can help us, give us direction, give us some hope, and give us some goals. So we'll start with what has been our launching text for the Sunday School series in Matthew chapter 4 that Pastor Peter has been giving. So case study in growth from Peter's life. Matthew 4:18. Rustling of papers, it's good. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Number one, growth begins with surrender. Growth begins with surrender. You're not going to grow as a Christian. You're not going to increase in sanctification if you don't surrender. Leaving their nets and walking away, that's a pretty powerful statement. That'd be like a carpenter leaving his hammer behind or a mechanic leaving his wrenches. You're making a pretty big statement when you walk away from your nets as a fisherman. They surrendered all to Jesus. And I wonder if we've done that. Are we living a surrendered life, or are we still holding on to something? Do we think that we need to protect our own territory or some little component of our life? Or have we been willing to call Jesus the Lord that He is and say, "You can have my life, whatever it is, and you can do what you want to do." You'll never grow as a Christian if you don't, first of all, surrender. Now, fast forward to chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8. In His ministry there in the north, Jesus had a kind of local headquarters, it seems. And it says in Matthew 8:14, when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. Now, this is one of a few passages where Peter's not doing or saying anything. But Jesus comes somewhere in relation to Peter. He comes inside Peter's house. Now, I am so encouraged at how our church, I believe, has grown in its ministry of hospitality. I remember years when it was like pulling teeth to get people to spend time with our missionaries, to house missionaries, to feed missionaries. And now I'm afraid some of you are going to start hurting each other over it. It's my turn. I want the missionary. It's great. It's wonderful. But there is something of vulnerability required in hospitality, isn't there? When you have someone into your home, what does that do? It says, here it is. Take it or leave it. This is what I've got. You know, if it's small, if it's dirty, if it's old, if it's new, if it's grand, if it's disorganized, if it's whatever, it's your house and they're living in it. And I think this speaks to us of the fact that for us to truly grow, we have to give Jesus complete access to our life. Growth requires, or it continues, when we give Jesus complete access to our life. You may have surrendered to Him in salvation, or you may have prayed once upon a time, "Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do." But if Jesus doesn't have complete access to your life, if He's kind of quartered off and, "Okay, Jesus, these parts are for You, but these parts are for me," your growth will be stunted. If you're going to continue growing as Peter did, you have to say, "Come on into my house, Lord, mi casa, su casa. Wherever you want to go, it's yours." Would you be willing to let Jesus spend the night at your house? If He did, would you kind of operate like you normally do, or would you have to change some things? Kids, would you put that away? Turn that off. Turn that down. Clean this up. Or could you just have Jesus come on? Jesus, could you just wait outside? You know, maybe the kids can show you outside, you know, around the yard while we get things ready for you inside. Or could you just have Him walk right in? Complete access must be given to God if He's going to help us grow. Number three, we'll find in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verse 26. Favorite account for many of us, I hope. I think. This is Jesus walking on the water, catching up to the boat, and having an exchange with the disciples. Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Don't you love the calm understatements of Scripture? I mean, how would you be if you saw somebody walking on the sea? I was troubled. I was mildly concerned. They were freaked out, okay? First of all, they're frustrated because it's the middle of the night and it's a storm, and then they see this ghost coming towards them, catching up. So they were troubled, and they were saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And we can certainly criticize Peter for getting distracted by the winds and the waves and beginning to sink. But I don't know of anyone else that ever walked on water besides Jesus. So we got to give him some credit, right? What do we know about the heart and general mood of the men on the boat that night? It's told to us twice in these short verses. What was in their hearts? Fear. Jesus said, don't be afraid, and the narrator tells us that they were afraid. For us to continue to grow, we are required to step out in obedience, even when we are afraid. Growth requires us to step out in obedience, even when we're afraid. If nothing has scared you in life recently, that's curious. But if something has scared you, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being scared, with being affrighted. But to live in fear and to be dominated by fear, that's not what God has for us. To let fear choose what we do is not the Christian way. The Christian way is to say, I'm afraid, but I'm going to step out. I'm going to walk. I am going to put my foot on the water, not in the water, on the water. And I'm going to let go. I mean, I can see kind of going down, you know, and you're just kind of, you know, it's holding. But I would so have a hold of that boat, wouldn't you? And then maybe let go with one hand. It's still holding. Whoa, this is crazy. Andrew, look at me. But at the same time, the heart is just pounding. Boom, 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 boom. I'm doing it, guys. I'm going. And he walks to him. Peter was afraid. And yet, he obeyed. When the Lord said, come. Jesus is saying, come to some of you tonight. He's saying, I have something for you to do. I want you to come right over here. I'm not asking you to get out of my sight. I'm not asking you to go somewhere where I won't be close. Because Jesus was close enough the whole time that when Peter began to sink, he could put out his hand and catch him. But he said, I want you to come. If you won't obey Jesus when you're afraid, you're not going to grow. Number four, come to please chapter 15 of Matthew. Matthew 15. Can you juggle your Bibles and your handouts? We need desks in here sometimes. Matthew chapter 15, we're not going to take time to develop the context, but Jesus is teaching, and then answered Peter, this is 15:15, and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. In other words, Jesus taught them something and Peter didn't get it. He didn't understand. And he wasn't okay with that. He said, let me ask the question. Let me seek understanding. Let me pursue knowing what Jesus has to say. How many times do you read your Bible and you read something and you're like, oh well, time's up. Got to go to work. We'll go to the next chapter tomorrow. It'll be easier. Are you content when you don't understand God's word to just leave it at that? Or do you ask him and say, declare unto us this parable. I didn't understand this passage. Can you help me? Do you stay on that chapter until you understand it? Do you pull some resources? Do you pray? Do you read it again and again? Or do you just say, well, that was tough. Let's move on. Growth takes listening to Jesus' teaching and seeking understanding. That's number four. Growth takes listening to Jesus' teaching and seeking understanding. It's not enough to just read the Bible. We're to understand the Bible. We're to meditate on God's word. Are you doing that? Number five, chapter 16 of Matthew. Here for a while. Every chapter, Peter's doing something. Chapter 16, verse 15. this is the occasion when Jesus kind of sets them up. And he said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" And I can imagine what was going on. I don't know for sure, but I kind of see some of them, you know, kicking the ground a little bit, clearing their throat. It's a good question, Jesus. Thank you for asking that. They're stalling, they're hemming and hawing. Some people say that you're Elias. Mm-hmm. And others say, and it's a very tenuous situation because the whole culture is kind of on edge about Jesus' identity. But Jesus, after setting them up and says, "Whom do men say that I am?" won't leave it there. He presses the issue. He brings it to a head and he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" I don't know if Peter jumped in right away. He very well may have. There may have been a brief pause where everybody's kind of looking around. And I would not be surprised if at least 5 or 6 or 11 of them turn to Peter. And then Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was blessed of Jesus for making that statement. And he said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. This isn't a natural understanding thing. And there are a lot of people that are still confused about my identity. But God has worked in you to cause you to know who I am." But I still think it took courage for Peter to do it. Growth happens when we have the courage to state and to stand by what we have learned to be true. Somewhere along the line, Peter became convinced, this isn't just a rabbi, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And no matter what, I'm in with Him. Others were still kind of hedging their bets. Others were still trying to, well, maybe, maybe not. I mean, Judas obviously wasn't all in. But Peter says, "Nope, I know the truth, and I can't pretend I don't. And no matter what the other 11 say, I'm going to say it. I'm just going to out with it." You have to admire Peter for that. He had the courage to state what he knew to be true. How many times do we know something's true and just kind of, well, I hope somebody else says something first. If they do, I'll agree with them. I'll nod politely. But do you just speak the truth? Growth happens when we have the courage to state and stand by what we have learned to be true. Now, chapter 17. We were here this morning. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Number 6, growth flourishes when we see Jesus' glory and learn to focus on him. Growth flourishes when we see Jesus' glory and learn to focus on Him. I'm just trying to give you some hope and some steps and some how-tos. Peter grew tremendously, didn't he? And I'm wanting us to see that it's not some kind of mysterious hocus-pocus. These are simple, copyable steps that Peter took. If we would focus on Jesus and His glory, that's going to set us up for growth. If we would learn to focus on Him and not the messenger, we could grow. Are we doing that? Growth flourishes when we see Jesus' glory and learn to focus on Him. Number seven. Later in the same chapter, verse 27, you remember the people came up to Peter and they're like, "It's time to pay your taxes." I should preach that text like in, I don't know, April or something. That'd be fun. And they say, "Are you going to pay your tax?" And Peter's like, "Oh, yeah, sure. Of course we pay our taxes. Right. Let me just go inside for a minute. Hey, Jesus, can you lend me some denarii?" Well, before he actually gets to say anything, Jesus says to him, "Hey, Peter." And he asks him this question about money. But then after all that, he says, "Peter, here's what you do. Go out, take a hook, not a net, a hook. Cast it in the sea, catch a fish. When you catch the fish, open its mouth and pay our taxes." Try that with TurboTax. I'll be back. I'm fishing. He told him to go fishing for his tax money. Wow. I mean, what would you say? I'm going to go fishing, and there's going to be money in the fish's mouth. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else have some money I can borrow? Because they're standing here waiting for me to pay them. Here we admire Peter greatly because he obeyed even when the instructions didn't make sense. God ever told you to do something that didn't make sense? And Jesus knew that the fish had money in its mouth. Jesus had ordained all of nature so that that fish would get money in its mouth, or else he created old-looking money in his mouth. I don't know. But Jesus had it all set up. But Peter didn't know that, did he? And isn't that how it is? We look at a situation like, this isn't going to work. Why would we do that? And Jesus is just sitting back there, trust me, I know which fish you're going to catch. I know how many scales are on that fish. I know when you're going to catch that fish. I know where that fish was born. I know when the money got it. I know everything about the situation and I have it all ready for you. Would you just do what I said? And how many blessings have we missed by not obeying Jesus when his instructions didn't make sense? Growth obeys even when the instructions don't make sense. Now, we're going to break away from Matthew for just a minute and come to chapter 13 of John. Turn to John 13. In John 13, supper's ended. This is just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. Jesus is wearing a towel. He has some water. John 13:8. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Well, aren't we humble? Everyone else is going to let Jesus wash their feet, but not Peter. Get away from me with that. You're not going to wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are all clean, but not all. And ye are clean, but not all. Peter goes from one extreme to the other here, doesn't he? You can't wash me to, oh, wash me all over. He wasn't willing to just get the same treatment everybody else got. And Peter went from the extreme of nothing to the extreme of everything. And I think the lesson we see here is that growth learns the... let me make sure I get the wording right for you. Growth develops the balance of moderation. Moderation is part of our growth. Growth develops the balance of moderation. Are you moderate? Or you have to be extreme all the time. Peter tended to be a man of extremes. But here Jesus is trying to teach him, no, Peter, I don't need to wash your hands and your head and everything. I just need to wash your feet. Like I said, I need to wash your feet, but that's all I need to do is wash your feet. And Peter needed to see that the answer was in the middle. I think as we grow, we will learn the balance of moderation. Peter's just growing, 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 isn't he? Now back to Matthew 26 this time. Matthew chapter 26. Really long chapter. Now they're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26:33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Verse 74, please. Verse 74. This is time number three. Then began he, Peter, to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You see, twice in this evening, Peter thought he was different from everybody else. Everybody else can get their feet washed, but not me. Oh, okay, well, everyone else can get their feet washed, but I'm going to get a whole sponge bath. Oh, well, everyone else might deny you, but not me. Peter, as a growing Christian, needed to realize that he was not exceptional. Growth realizes that it is not exceptional. This is such a strong temptation in our human nature to think I am the exception. The rules don't apply to me. My case is different. My circumstances are extenuating all the time. And so that's why I get to do this differently. That's why I can disregard God's instructions. I can live for myself. I can enjoy all that this world has to offer. And my life won't be a train wreck like other people's. We think we're an exception to the rule. We think we can buck God's system and everything's going to turn out. We think we can live above the rules and say, yes, most people need to do that, but I can do it differently in my case. Oh, yes, other Christians may fall into that temptation, but not me. I don't need to be afraid of that. I can get close to that sin and it won't hurt me. We think we're an exception. Oh, I can neglect my family and it won't cause any problems. Oh, I can neglect my Bible reading and I'll be just fine. And we think we're an exception. Exceptionalism is a dirty lie. We're all pretty much the same, people. And if it's bad for you, it's bad for me. And if it's bad for us, it's bad for the next guy. There's certain basic things that we're all subject to. But Satan whispers in our ear and says, you're different. It'll work out differently for you. You can get away with it. And then he laughs and laughs when our life gets all chewed up. Peter realized for the second time in one night that he was not exceptional. Number 10. Back to John, please. Keeping you back and forth. Now, John chapter 21. John 21. Okay, we fast forwarded now past Jesus' death, past his resurrection. They're there. At the sea. Jesus has a cookout breakfast for the disciples. But he has a little discipling to do for Peter. John 21, verse 17. Jesus saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 22. This is after Peter, after all those three questions and being grieved, Peter kind of looks over at John and says, Master, what will this man do? Jesus saith unto him, verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The point is that growth requires us to love and obey Jesus without being distracted by what others are doing. Growth requires us to love and obey Jesus by what others are doing. I almost put this in your notes, but it just seemed a little bit harder. Growth learns to mind its own business. Peter, it's none of your business what John's ministry is. Yeah, you're going to be crucified. Don't worry about John. I'll take care of John. Peter, you need to feed my sheep. Don't worry about what I want John to do. You focus on me. Didn't we have this lesson on the Mount of Transfiguration? We did, didn't we? Didn't we learn not to look at the waves and things that are distracting us?
when we were out walking on the water? Focus, Peter. Come on, stay with me. Focus on me. Love me. Do what I've asked you to do. And don't stick your nose in other people's spiritual business. Well, I don't have liberty to do that. Why do they think they can do that without sinning? Mind your own business. Let the Holy Spirit take care of them. It's not your job to go around sanctifying everybody.
Growth requires us to love and obey Jesus without being distracted by what others are doing. If others are doing great, if others are doing terrible, it's my job to keep my eyes on Jesus. If our missionaries are planting churches and the churches are growing bigger than our church, that's okay. Good for them. Let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. If our missionaries are trying to plant churches and it doesn't seem to be working, that's okay. Let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. If you witness to your neighbor for years and nothing happens and somebody else moves in and shares the gospel with them and they get saved, don't get discouraged. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's all you have to do. Acts chapter 3. We're on number 11. Oh, this is glorious. This is after the sermon at Pentecost. That we'll have to leave aside. The lame man gets healed. Look on me. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Okay, so Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. I like here that Peter is growing because he realized he was powerless. Contrast this with just what? Maybe 2 months ago when he's in the garden. Though all forsake thee, yet not I. Let me get my sword and take on that, you know, servant of the high priest. And now he's saying, I can't do anything. It's not me that healed the man. Growth realizes it is powerless. Growth realizes, number 11, that it is powerless. Have you realized how weak you are? Have you realized how little control you have over your life? Do you understand that anything good that happens will be because of God working through you? Growth realizes it is powerless. Number 12, now in chapter 4 of Acts, the religious leaders are trying to stop this fast-growing church. Acts 4, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, and I want you to think about what he's saying and what he might have said 2 years ago if somebody commanded him not to speak. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Now, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. By itself, this might not be a remarkable passage, but in the context of Peter's life, this is remarkable. I mean, okay, John's one of the sons of thunder, so he's not, you know, necessarily Mr. Wimpy either. And Peter is Mr. Draw the sword, Mr. Walk on the water, all that stuff. And the chief priests and elders threaten him? Oh, excuse me, you do not threaten Peter. This is a fisherman. You know, you don't threaten these guys. And they threaten them and say, you can't speak in the name of Jesus. And calmly and with composure, they simply say, well, you decide whether you think it's better for us to listen to you or to listen to God. But we can tell you, we can't help saying what we've seen and heard. Thank you. We'll talk to you later. Peter, is that you? John, is that you? Wow, you certainly do sound sanctified today. And then they go back and they tell the other believers, yeah, those chief priests and elders, I tell you what, if they try that again, so help me, I'll give them a piece of my mind. No, they just explain what happened calmly and apparently rationally. Very interesting response. Number 12, growth is not rattled. Growth is not rattled by opposition. Growth is not rattled by opposition. Again, just a couple months earlier in the garden, what was that like? They came up on Jesus and he's drawing his sword. Here now they're threatening him and he says, whatever you think, but we're not stopping. He's mellowed a bit, has he not? Growth is not rattled by opposition. Growth doesn't get easily stirred up and shaken up into a tizzy where you can't tell me what to do. He just calmly said, we're going to keep talking about Jesus. Number 13, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. This is when Peter is staying at the house of one Simon a tanner, and Jesus is preparing him to go preach the gospel to Cornelius, the Gentile. And so in Acts chapter 10, verse 13, remember he's trying to take a nap before dinner up on the roof. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. He saw this sheet let down by the four corners and there's all these kind of animals in it that he hadn't eaten his entire life. Verse 14, but Peter said, not so, Lord. That sounds familiar. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou clean. Common. So Peter has a little bit of setback here. Last time he said this, wasn't it, when Jesus said, I got to go be crucified? And Peter says, no, that's not going to happen to you. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. So he has a little bit of relapse into the not so Lord mode. When Jesus tells him, you can now eat things that you've never eaten before. Peter's like, whoa, that can't be. This is against my tradition. No way. God says, yes, you can. Don't you call it common if I call it uncommon. And this is hard for some of us. It's hard for me. Growth, number 13, submits its traditions to the instructions of God. Growth submits its traditions to the instructions of God. Just because you've done it that way your whole life doesn't mean it's the way you're supposed to do it today. Just because you've always said it that way, or always prayed that way, or always studied the Bible that way, or always been private about something, or just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it needs to stay that way. If God says to do it, you need to obey. And if you're not willing to obey God, you've made an idol out of your tradition. Number 14, Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. This is a good one. Peter's back on the upward climb again. Acts chapter 12, Herod has killed James, and that went over well. So he says, let me try that again. I'll get Peter this time. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, he's been arrested, and the next day he was going to bring him for execution, presumably. The same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And we know that when the angel appeared, there's a bright light and the angel still has to slap him to wake him up. And it's encouraging to see that growth rests in God's plan and protection. Growth rests in God's plan and protection. He wasn't afraid. He says, whatever you want, Lord, will be okay with me. Are you resting in God's provision or are you anxiously trying to work everything out yourself? Are you trying to engineer and orchestrate your life? Growth rests in God's plan and God's protection. The last one for tonight is from Acts 15. Acts 15. Cornelius now has been saved. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter has seen that God's mission and purpose is expanded to the Gentiles. It's not just Jews.
And there's this big discussion going on, and some Pharisees who had become Christians were thinking, well, yeah, we're Christians, but you got to do these things. And they were having a hard time figuring it out. Acts 15:7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? We know that Peter is maturing because growth does not demand of others without recognizing its own limitations. Parents, I hope you're listening. Growth does not demand of others without recognizing its own limitations. How many times have I been inclined to insist on something for my children that I myself do not do? Peter was growing and he realized, yeah, we could hold him to the line and say, you got to do this and this and this. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. I'm a good Jew. But he said, you know what? Our people couldn't handle the law. Why should we try to put it on the Gentiles? You know what? Let's make sure they don't do these things and it'll be okay. A really mature, growing Christian is able to recognize, you know what? They may not be able to handle that right now. And that's okay. Well, I know this has been a long list, but I want us to kind of look at the way it's moved along. Go back on your handout and kind of follow along what's happened. And I want you to see if you can identify a trend in Peter's life. Number one, growth begins with surrender. It continues when we give Jesus access. It requires us to obey even when we're afraid. It listens and seeks understanding. We have courage to stand. We see Jesus' glory and focus on him. We obey when things don't make sense. We become moderate. We realize we're not exceptional. We're not distracted by what others are doing. We realize that we're powerless. We're not rattled and stirred up by opposition. We submit our traditions to God's instructions. We rest in his plan. We don't demand of others. If you were to try to put that on a graph, a trajectory, there's certain differences in it. But by and large, what I see in Peter is a development and growth in passivity. Peter the passive. How does that sound? But you look at what's happening in these last numbers of his growth. He's not getting rattled. He's submitting to God's instruction. He's no longer the one that says, not so, Lord. He's no longer the one that says, everybody might, but not me. He's kind of mellowed and settled down a little bit. And that's what spiritual growth looked like for him. Spiritual growth means I'm submitting to God and let him work through my life. And so we had to see Philippians 2, 12 through 13, which says, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Spiritual growth is not about my ability to muster up some kind of spirituality. It's about allowing God to work in me. I hope that though we're wrapping this series up, you will make sanctification and spiritual growth a priority in your life, that you will seek to grow, but mostly you'll let him grow you, that you'll say yes, Lord, and submit to his instructions so that we can have a growing Dyer Baptist Church.
Just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. Grace, Glory, the number 7, @juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.